Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our sermon podcast from St. Peter's Church for Sunday the 29th of March. Hope this finds you well and coping with the difficult circumstances we find ourselves in. Hope that you are managing to keep to the government's advice. If you have any doubt about what that is, then do please ask somebody or find out, because it's really important that we keep not just ourselves but each other safe at this time and try and minimise the impact of the coronavirus. Obviously, this is the end of the first week of many, so things will get more difficult for us as we go on. But remember, we are here as church to support each other, and do please, please get in touch if you've got any need, whether that be something we need to pray about or something we can practically help you with. The government rules do permit me and others to go out if it is to bring urgent help to somebody. So let's make sure that we do that, please. Today's reading is from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 down to verse 45. It's the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Let's pray as we hear the scriptures read and expounded. Loving Father, we thank you that we have your word to guide us through these troubling times. Thank you for a message of hope and new life that comes from these words this morning. Pray that you would anoint me as I help all of us to understand the meaning of these words and how they might have implications for us now. For your name's sake. Amen. Let's hear then John's account. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord," she told him.
"I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave of a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. The name of Lazarus is a famous one, and many of you will have heard this story before, or at least known of the fact that Lazarus was the one that Jesus raised from the dead. It's become kind of a phrase in popular culture, isn't it? Sometimes people talk about a Lazarus-like comeback, or there is a bizarre creature called a Lazarus lizard that apparently is able to feign death so convincingly that its predators conclude that it is dead, and then it comes back to life when there is no danger around. But this is a story of Jesus genuinely bringing a totally dead man totally back to life. We need to be very clear about that. This is not something that can be minimized. It's not something that we can find any explanation for other than the astonishing supernatural power of Jesus. I want to show us some things about Jesus from this passage. And the first is this, that Jesus is in control. It appears to many that Jesus is not in control. Because when Jesus first hears the news of his friend's sickness, severe sickness, the expectation would have been that he would have gone straight away. After all, Jesus heals random strangers just because they ask him to. Surely for his friend, and we know that Lazarus and Martha and Mary were special friends of Jesus, and that the house of Bethany was a place where Jesus was able to go to withdraw from the strains of ministry and to build a community around him of his special friends and disciples. So what is Jesus doing? Why is he not rushing to be at Lazarus's side? And that accusation is there waiting for him, isn't it? It comes first of all from Martha in harsh words. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary says the same. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. The Jews around say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? They've seen Jesus' power work. They've seen the amazing things he's done. Why on earth has he not done something for Lazarus? Why has he allowed Lazarus to die? But Jesus is completely in control. He's completely in control because he has a plan. And that plan is one that he hasn't yet revealed. But it leads on to the second point about Jesus. That Jesus is concerned primarily for God's glory. That's what he lives his life for, that he wants to see God glorified. And we see this in verse 4. Hope you're following this in your Bibles. It'd be a good thing to do. John chapter 11, we're using the New International Version. This sickness will not end in death, says Jesus. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. He wants John is very concerned in his gospel to show the miracles of Jesus in such a way that they reveal Jesus to be God and that they show God's glory, God's amazing power and majesty. And this is kind of the culminating sign in John's gospel, because now Jesus will demonstrate power over death. And he's not doing that because he gets a kick out of performing miraculous things for the clouds to clap and applaud, a bit like a first century Derren Brown or anything like that. No, he's doing it for God's glory, that God might be glorified, that people might put their faith in God, that they might understand how amazing their God is. The third point is that Jesus is not afraid of what might happen to him. Disciples make clear that the trajectory of Jesus' career has meant that Judea is now a place that is too dangerous for him to go to. Rabbi, verse 8, short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you were going back there. If Jesus is being sensible, if Jesus is taking precautions, then surely he will listen to this. He won't go to Judea. But there is a bigger purpose, isn't there? And Jesus won't allow the fear that men have to override that purpose. And of course, ultimately, Jesus will take steps in his career in his final visit to Jerusalem, similarly, that will so aggravate the authorities that they will put him to death. Jesus will not let fear get in the way of God's mission being fulfilled. And then finally, Jesus demonstrates power over death. He does that gloriously, doesn't he? So he has arranged things so that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, and when Martha talks about the fact there will be a bad odour, she's absolutely right, because at that, it will have, in that climate, 4 days would have been the point where the body would have started to decompose. Lazarus would no longer really start looking like Lazarus, to be, I'm afraid, a bit graphic, you know. It sort of all been falling off and wouldn't have looked at all pleasant. Surely he can't do anything now. Why would Jesus want to go to the grave? But Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. And he prays so that people know that this power comes from God the Father. And when Lazarus comes out, he comes out and he's able to walk. Jesus has miraculously restored him fully to life. One final point, fifthly. This passage shows Jesus' compassion and love for humanity. You see Jesus weeping. And we might think, well, why is he weeping? If he was so concerned, why didn't he come earlier? Why didn't he stop Lazarus from dying? Jesus isn't weeping because Lazarus has died and there was nothing he could have done about it. Jesus is weeping at the pain that death and disease brings upon the human beings that he loves, those who go through it and those who witness it. And as he witnesses what death has done to his friend Lazarus, He's weeping for that. And actually, the phrase deeply moved, which we see a couple of times, can actually mean really angry. Jesus is furious with Satan for what he has done in bringing death and disease into the world. And we remember this. Jesus isn't just a miracle worker who, you know, does the stuff and then walks away. He is deeply involved in our human story, in our human life. He loves us and he cares for us. And when bad things happen to us, he weeps. So what do we need to draw from this? Well, firstly, if Jesus was in control at the grave of Lazarus, he's in control now. This situation we're in with COVID-19, it can seem out of control. It can seem that the spread of the virus is something we simply can't control. And we feel helpless, don't we? Maybe we feel completely helpless in the face of its onslaught. The government is able to do certain things, but they can't actually, actually stop the virus from spreading. All we can do is to take steps, and let's be clear, these are good steps we must obey to limit its spread. But Jesus is in control. This doesn't mean that Jesus has given up on the world. It doesn't mean that he's taken a day off. It doesn't mean that he's not concerned. Hey, Jesus' love and concern that is there in those tears at the grave of Lazarus is here for us now. He weeps for the damage that this virus has done. But he is in control. This virus has happened because of the way the world was spoilt when human sin spoilt it right back at the beginning in the garden. And that's what spoilt the world, what allowed death and disease and decay in. And that's the consequences that we live with now. And Jesus hasn't caused coronavirus. It doesn't come from him. It comes from the evil one. But for whatever reason, in God's purposes, he's allowed it to happen. That doesn't mean that he is not able to stop it at any moment. So it is right that we should pray for God to intervene in this outbreak, to intervene supernaturally, because he is in control and he can do anything. We too, like Jesus, should be concerned for the glory of God. Maybe that's important at the moment as we do what we can to help. And for those of you who are volunteering, it's very easy, isn't it, to think that, to fall into a mindset how wonderful we are for doing those things. But let's make sure that our motivation in everything that we do, and that includes what we do during these difficult times, is for God's glory. And let's pray that as we help people, as we show people the love of God expressed in Jesus through our actions, that just as the Jews did at the grave of Lazarus, that many of them might put their faith in him. Let's pray that people put their faith in Jesus because of the way the church has been there for them and helped them, because the way Christians have been around and have helped people at this time. Let's remember also that Jesus has the power over death. This story of Lazarus is placed in John's Gospel just a few chapters before the story of Jesus' own death and resurrection. And let's be clear. Let's be realistic about this. Some of you listening to this may have friends or relatives who die from coronavirus. It may be that you yourselves might fall victim to it. We have to be honest about that. Let's pray that that doesn't happen. But if it does, let's remember that Jesus has won a huge victory over death, and that new life forever with him is available to those who put their trust in him. Death is not the end. It's just the beginning of eternal life. And he gives that challenge to Martha, doesn't he? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he die. And he, whoever lives and believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this? That question Jesus is asking you this morning. I sometimes use this reading at funeral services. And you can see how that, what a powerful message it can bring to people. That there is new life available in Jesus. So do put your trust in him today. If you're hearing this and you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus, if you haven't yet understood that Jesus died on the cross for you, taking your sins upon himself, rose again for you, so that you might have new life. If you haven't understood that, if it's news to you, if you're realising this morning that for the first time you're believing that, please do get in touch so that we can pray with you and disciple you. Even over the phone and remotely, we can help you grow in your first steps as a Christian, even if we can't meet physically. That'd be lovely if you were able to get in touch. And let's take the compassion that Jesus shows, the compassion and love for human beings. Let that be our watchword and our standard of behaviour as we deal with our fellow human beings during this time. Let love and compassion be what marks us out as God's people. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. We pray that you would cast out fear. Pray that you would protect us from COVID-19 and those whom we love. But thank you, Father, that whatever happens, we know that you're in control. And we know that you have won a glorious victory over death and bring us new life. Please be with us, we pray, and those whom we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, do remember to keep checking emails and updates from us here at St. Peter's. We've been quiet for a few days, but that's mainly because we're putting plans in place and things. There will be more information coming out soon about how we can keep in touch during this difficult time. And once again, please do get in touch if there's any way that I can help. And some of you I know have already volunteered to be available if help is needed. So thank you for that. And I may well be calling on you. So may God bless you this Sunday morning. And may he be with you through whatever this day and this week brings. Amen.